Don't Panic is a new comedy podcast from Wondery that leans into our most absurd anxieties and diffuses them with humor and actual advice. Listen to Don't Panic on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only hilarious and lovable Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, beautiful Ben.
Hi. We are here today to talk Below Deck Down Under. Before we do that, though, some things that you should know. First of all, this is video. So if you want to watch this video before we put it on YouTube, it's going to be on Patreon for a week. So go to patreon.com/watchourcrappens and sign up. And if you support on the Crappens On Demand level, you get access to this video a whole week before we put it up on YouTube. So that's really cool. Also, on Patreon, you get access to our bonus episode. And it's funny, you know, speaking of bonus episodes, which I just mentioned, we started this recap. This recap that you're listening to, we actually already started it. We already recorded it. And what happened was, we're like, hey, before we dive into Below Deck Down Under, let's touch on the Below Deck Sailing Yacht Reunion. Let's just like touch on that before we get into the, you know, the Down Under recap. Well, guess what? We wound up talking our little behinds off for 40 minutes. And we said, you know what? Let's make this a bonus episode. So that is our bonus episode for this week. So if you want to hear our thoughts on the Below Deck Sailing Reunion, go to Patreon. So patreon.com/watchourcrappens. It's our bonus episode this week. It's going to be up. It's going to be fabulous. You're going to love it. You're going to have a great time. And also, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that reunion and correct us in the things that we got right and wrong. And so go check that out.
Well, that's such a crazy reunion because there is no right or wrong. Nobody understood. I mean, I've been scouring the internet trying to piece together the timeline of everything that they're talking about. Nobody understood. It doesn't make any sense. So a lot of it is just us going, well, did he mean this or did he mean that? And was it on this day or was it that day? And Did they fuck or did they make out? That's the big conundrum that is that season. Nobody really is going to know the truth for sure. Yeah. Okay. It's all, even after 2 hours of it, it's still mostly conjecture on all of our parts. So it's fun trying to figure it out. It's like a mystery. It's like a made mystery.
Okay? Yeah. Made mystery. So now let's do what we intended to do with the bonus episode all along, which is recap Below Deck Down Under. It's the second episode of this week. So this is episode 3 of the season. If you're like, wait, but what about the other episode that aired? Well, guess what? That's also on our podcast feed. So go check on the feed. Be sure to subscribe, by the way, so that way it'll just make it easier for you. But this is the third episode of the season. And the big cliffhanger is that Luke just planted one and Margot at the club. And she's like, whoa, did not expect that.
I mean, he's low down and dirty. He did the whole, you've got an eyelash, close your eyes, and then kissed her. Like, you can't do that. I don't know what year you think you're living in, sir, but yeah, you can't do that. And so she's like, no one's ever done that to me before. And he's like, you've never seen that before? That's called a kiss from down under. Oh, really? This is called a restraining order from above. From up above. Okay.
This is called an HR violation from all around.
Yeah, you fucking slime bag. It's called assault, sir.
He goes, there's a face for everything. And she goes, no, like, I'm not mad. I just, wow, that was like a lot. So then he goes and gets a tray of shots. And Harry's watching it from afar with Zarina. And he's like, he's been trying way too hard since she got on the boat, you know? Like, oh, he's coming over. Act normal.
He's like doing a shot looking around like, be normal. And then she starts flailing.
Pretend you're in a glass case. Be normal.
He has just like this way of flailing. He takes a shot too bigly and just like flails all over. So then Serena's talking to Margot and she's like, oh, I saw the ball. He tried to kiss you and you pushed him back. Margot's like, yeah, he did do that. She goes, so how do you feel? Do you feel that about him back? And she's like, I mean, I guess I've got a crush on him. I was like, oh, come on, bro.
I was so disappointed. I was like, really?
Come on, Margot. I wanted at least a little like, are you allowed to do that? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of creepy, you know, but I don't know. I know.
I was so disappointed. And then Zarina's like, so why did you pull back? Were you a perfectionist like I am? And Margot's like, no, I just wasn't expecting it, you know? So then it cuts to Laura and she's trying to like be sexy and she's like grinding on a lighting pole because she thinks it's like a... She thinks it's like a stripper pole, and she's like, look at me, little Latvian stripper. I've been Latvian stripper for 15 years now, yes! And security just pulls her off.
Security had a lot of work to do this episode. They had to keep pulling them off everything. The poles, Luke coming in between Margot's leg and lifting her with his head. Security was busy today. Yeah. Luke is breakdancing right now, by the way, in case anybody's wondering, like, why do you guys think he's such a douchebag? Okay. Also, I think Luke is getting away with a lot with the audience because he smiles so much.
Mm.
That's my theory. Yeah. He's got a very nice smile and disposition, and people are letting him get away with shit. This guy's a piece of shit. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think and he's also like not, he doesn't have all the slimy qualities, outwardly slimy qualities as like a Gary, right? Like Gary has like the greasy hair and he's like, yeah, he has the, like the laugh that just sounds like a million cigarettes. You know, yes. Luke is just like smiling, like, can't wait to jump out of a plane because I love adrenaline and breaking all the rules, except for when I work, in which case I follow all the rules aggressively.
Yeah, except the ones I don't. But still smile. Like, he even gets away with it with the captain, I think. Because he's like, oh, totally get it, captain. Totally get it. Totally understand. I'm on your team. Yeah. It's like, and then he goes to bed, you know? So, let's see. Aisha and Margot. Now Aisha's talking to Margot. And she's like, sorry, look, looky, looky, day. You're going to do a little picky, picky with the looky, looky. That crazy, that rhyme.
Margo's like, well, should we? She's like, well, why wouldn't you? Except for the fact that he was just like super aggressive and violated your space and didn't ask for consent. And Margo's like, well, I mean, he's super aggressive and I think it's just like too much right now.
Well, don't you think something that's so nice is the build-up? Like, can't we just fret a little fast, am I right? What happened to flirting?
What happened to poking your eye into someone's eyeball and then maybe up into the butthole a little bit? What happened to good old-fashioned flirting?
I miss good old-fashioned flirting. When I met my boyfriend, I said, you want to shit in a bucket first or shall I? That's common flirting.
I miss the days when gentlemen were gentlemen and they'd stick their finger up your nose and pull out a little piece of snot for you to look at and say, here, this will be an engagement ring at some time. What happened to flirting?
And then it cuts to Luke covering one ear on the dance floor like he's a DJ. Oh, yeah. And he's wearing a shirt with patches all over it. And I'm like, I know you think you're cool, but you look like a janitor in a public school, which is fine. But I don't know that that's in fashion, but maybe it is. You know, what the fuck do I know?
Janitor chic. It's like a thing now. Maybe it's in vogue. I don't know, Ronnie. Sounds like you kind of elevated him. So Margo's like, she's like, it just was like so quick and unexpected. I mean, but I'm attracted to confident men. I'm not going to close the door just yet, you know? I'm like, yeah, well, you can be attracted to confident men, but don't be attracted to dumb men. How about that? Shouldn't that negate it all?
Yeah, she's like, I just don't want to jump into anything. And then it cuts to Luke dropping a tray of glasses on the ground and breaking them all because he's wasted. And Harry's like, oh, he just dropped the whole tray of glasses on the ground, mate. Oh, totally got a chance now. I'm going for it.
Hi, miss. Looks like I'm holding the glass and not knocking it over. So does that turn you on, miss?
They leave and everyone's having fun and wasted and stuff. And back to the boat, Harry helps carry Margot out of the car. And Margot's like, I really didn't need you to lift me. And he's like, but I did. So what do you think of that? These guys, what is it with guys? Why are guys all just still like this? Like, they immediately just start fighting over. Is it because we just watched the Below Deck sailing where it's like Gary and Colin and Daisy's just a ping pong, you know?
Right.
I know that time works differently on these shows, but God, I wish Margo could watch that mess before she shot any of this season. It's not going to end well.
I seriously agree. So Luke helps Margo, and I'm sorry, Margo starts helping Luke get like onto the boat or something, and then at the passerelle, he just starts making out with her. And Harry sees this and he's like, "How did I do that?" And Margo's like, "Well, that was a way to make an entrance. Well, wow, you had me at hello. I always wanted to say that because it's always Renee who got to say that line instead of me, Bonnie Hunt. So it feels good to take the line at last."
It's funny because you had me when I said hello, miss.
Harry, it's not as good when you do it. Sorry.
So Harry sees it, so he goes into competition mode. So he's like, "Oh, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna fill up the hot tub, mate. Let's fill up the hot tub." And Luke's like, "Margo, come with me. We'll fill it up." And she's like, "Nah, I need to change into my bathing suit." And Luke's like, "Come with me right now." So then Harry gets all excited and starts showing off his Speedo, because Harry has a personality that we don't know yet, guys. Harry likes Speedos. That's his thing.
You know what I bet Harry loves? And we've seen this once or twice before on these shows, and I bring it up every time because I think it's always important to point out so everyone knows. Harry probably loves Ultimate Frisbee, and he probably loves Frisbee Golf too. He's just that type. It's terrible.
Yeah, like extreme frisbee golf. Like, he's one of those guys.
Like, yeah, you want to go play some frisbee, but like in a way that's super annoying. Ugh.
So he's like, I've got a Speedo for every occasion. And this one has pineapples. And listen, I'm trying to root for you, Harry. I really am. But
I support your bungee smugglers. I enjoy that you have a garment that you're really close with, but like, let's let this be the end of that chapter.
Okay, yeah, let's Harry, it's time for this.
We saw it, and now it's over. Okay,
it's done.
So now Luke is kissing Margo on the deck again, and Margo's like, "No, stop! I don't want to ruin it." And he goes, "But I feel like a flirting's gone beyond flirting." She goes, "Has it? It's only been a day, and by a day I mean really about 4 hours since I got on this boat. So I think you may be moving a little quickly there, sailor."
Yeah, because he keeps, so they're by the hot tub, and she's like, "Oh, wait, so the hot tub still has to fill up?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she's like, "No, I gotta pee." And he just keeps like, you know, sorry, keeps forcing the kisses. And she's like, "Jesus Christ, you know?" Yeah. Like, "Yes, my dog died. No, I don't want your casserole." You know what I mean? Like, jeez. Like, you don't want to say no to a casserole. You know they're just trying to be nice, but how many baked tuna dishes can one girl have?
Okay. Like, let me mourn my dog for at least, like, you know, 12 hours before you send the casserole over.
Yeah.
So Luke, he's like, "Don't be like that." And she goes, "Well, no, I don't want to dive in and have it be awkward tomorrow. I mean, of course I'm down to flirt, but I just don't know if I want to do it right now." And he's like, "Oh, come here. Don't be angry." Which is
God,
like,
what aren't you fucking hearing, dude? Get your fucking paws and your loser disco hat off. What is he not hearing? And she's like, he's like, "Don't be angry." And she's like, "I'm not angry. I'm hesitant." So then he starts like kissing her cheeks, and then he gives her like here's a friend double cheek kiss, and then he kisses her lips. And it's like, dude, just leave her alone. Please.
I know. So Margo's like, "You know, we have a connection, okay, and it'll probably go somewhere, okay, you're doing good things, okay, but do we have a sewing kit? Okay, I found a sewing kit. Oh, look, I found a pin. I'm gonna put a pin in that sewing kit. We call that putting a pin in it. So, okay, I'm gonna have to go to sleep now, okay, bye."
So now everyone's wasted and mess, and Aisha's like putting 10 ramen noodles in one big bowl, and they're microwaving them, and Harry's like eating out of the bowl, and Luke's like, "Hot tub, let's do the hot tub." And Aisha's like, "I'm ready for bed. Where's the can-can queen?" And it just cuts to Laura like, "I have been sleeping for 15 years.
This is how you sleep in Latvia. So now Harry actually is really out. He wants to go to the hot tub because now he's going to try to make a move on Margot. He's like, anyone want to take these bungee smugglers with me to the hot tub? Anyone? Come on, someone has to come with me. And everyone's like, no, thanks. So he like goes up there and he's like, if she comes up to the jacuzzi, she's in. And otherwise, she's not. So, all right, fingers crossed. It's only going to be, I'm going to give it 10 more seconds. 5 seconds or 1 second. All right, let's start the clock again. 10 more seconds. She'll be here. She'll be here. Okay, let's give her a minute now. Maybe we'll give her 30 minutes, then she'll show up, I'm sure. She's going to be here, I'm sure. Miss, I'm up here waiting for you.
How long does a baked potato take to bake? We'll give it that long. Poor Harry can even make getting in the hot tub uncool. I don't think there's ever been a below deck where the first night they didn't all get in the hot tub. I mean, that's wow, true. Harry. You ruined the hot tub, Harry. Congrats. The minute Harry wanted to go in, everybody else is like, nah.
You are so right, actually. And he goes, and then Harry tells us, I don't know what to do. Luke is my boss and both fancy Margot. I mean, it's a shit situation. It's a shit sandwich. I'm like, wow, are we already diving into the same storyline from Alex and Gary? Like, so quickly? Wow.
Yeah, immediately. So then he just laughs too hard and she doesn't come to the hot tub. So he just, like, kind of flails out there. So then the next day, the captain gets another text from the new deckie in all caps. This all caps worries
all
me.
All caps.
Okay. It's like, I'm catching another flight. I will say yes down. Oh my God, for Christ's sake.
Shouldn't you have, I don't know who you are or where you're coming in from, but you should have jet lag. So please at least go back to normal case. What is non-caps lock again? That's like normal, like non-capitalized letters, lowercase. Thank you.
I don't know. Average case. No, it's lowercase. Normal case. Lowercase. But you would still use a capital every once in a while. It's just not all capital. So it wouldn't be lowercase. It would be like reg case. Let's call it reg case.
Lowercase with like an occasional uppercase.
Average case.
To spice it up. Like normal
just
case.
Just use common case. You know what I mean? There it is.
At
I
least
think it
do
should
small
be common
caps.
Case.
At least use small caps.
No caps. No caps. Go back to no caps.
Just so, silence.
No, that's lower. That would be lowercase.
Could you just send like one emoji? Just send like an emoji of a guy running, and we get it. We get it. We're set. So, Laura, it's the morning. Laura's she's like, well, did I embarrass myself last night? You know, because since I'm just worried that you might be wearing off on me, Aisha. She's like, no, you were fine. You were just dancing. It was great.
And Laura's like, how was my dancing? Critique me. Did I do any part of Swan Lake last night? It is my jam. Did I whip out Sugar Plum Fairy? Please tell me I did.
Have my Julie Taymor costumes arrived for Lion King performance for later this season at some point?
Clean and decking, 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 clean and clean.
Clean. The best part of waking up is washing surfaces and cups.
So Adam is kind of looking around. Who's Adam? Hold on.
Adam is Brooklyn guy, Kangaroo Jack.
Oh, right. So Adam's looking around, not really knowing what to do. And Luke's like, look here, bro, there's salt all over the ceiling. We could be doing this. This is what we need to do. And Adam's like, oh, God, we got to dry. Adam's like, oh, my God, we got to dry the deckheads. And he's like, yeah, you don't leave it like this. That's pure laziness. It takes 5 minutes, Adam. And Adam's like, well, I guess whatever you say goes, bro. Yeah, Adam, it fucking does. Get the fucking work. That's the hell? Don't make the way, me stand up for Luke.
I know, that's usually the way a hierarchy works. So inside, Aisha and Laura are trying to figure out how to wipe off some ring stains on one of the tables. And Aisha's like, oh, maybe just some vinegar. And Laura's like, I don't like using vinegar. Vinegar reminds me of Latvia. Vinegar, most popular soda in Latvia.
Okay, and I use vinegar, if this is what you say. As you want it, miss. I was like, no, here it goes. Now Laura is just going to completely turn. We knew it was going to come. I didn't know it was going to come episode 2 and 3. But here she comes, full force.
I'm surprised it didn't come sooner. But and she's really doing this like resentful genie thing, which is like, as you wish, as you wish.
Yes, she really is. She's like Barbara Eden on a bad day. Like, oh, God, fucking Larry Hagman again. Jesus Christ, how many wishes does this fucker get?
I dream of can-can dress. So Adam is, meanwhile, Adam is like all mad. He's like, oh, this is bullshit. I'm not lazy at all, okay? I studied every single line out of Kangaroo Jack. Does that make me a lazy person? I don't think so. So Harry's like, don't worry about it, mate. And Adam's like, I'm not used to that. I'm like doing my job. I take it serious, bro.
So he's like,
so yeah, serious, he learned how to swim.
Yeah, so see, exactly. So we get a monologue from Adam. He's like, coming from the commercial ships as third officer, I have like a commission in the military, a bachelor's in science and marine transportation, and an unlimited license. Also, I have this card that if I go to Michael's, I get 10% off. And now, being the third deckhand, the lowest on the totem pole, and being told to go clean up some nasty sludge in the corner, that's kind of fucked up. But I'm trying my best. You didn't learn to swim, sir, okay?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck you're doing on this boat. You're going to get fired, and you have anger issues.
If you don't like being lowest on the totem pole and having to clean up sludge in the corner, and if you feel like that's fucked up, don't apply to be a deckhand somewhere. How about that? If you feel like it's an insult for you to be a deckhand, then apply for a job at the level that you should be at. But like, don't apply for a deckhand. You're the one who chose to do this. You're the one who wanted to be on TV.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Looking for love? I'm Jujubee. And on this season of Queen of Hearts, we're going all the way down to sunny, sexy Miami. I'm setting up the hottest singles in South Florida. Maybe I can find them their perfect partner or someone to fulfill their sexiest fantasies.
A man who unconditionally loves me and is a raging feminist and then ties me up, rubbing oils on me, then surprise gets a girl to lick my and another guy to put it in my and has a huge...
But remember, there's a twist. No one can see each other until the very end. Cameras on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Woo! Got me blessed.
Follow Queen of Hearts on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app now, or you can listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
So, so Harry goes, well, don't worry about it. Just do as you're told. And Adam goes, okay, Mr. Wizard. See, that doesn't even make sense. It has nothing to do with Mr. Wizard. There's no scientific element to any of that.
I know, but that's him being like a dick. Like, oh, I guess you could solve it all. What are you, a wizard? Mr. Know-it-all? Fucking know-it-all wizards?
How about you don't come on to TV and talk about how Kangaroo Jack was a formative film of your childhood? Okay, and then you can start dissing other people.
He's like, fine, Professor McGonagall. So then Jason, who is a witch, I guess. So Jason's like, Serena, your luggage is in the marina. And I don't think he knew that rhymed, but it was pretty cute. And she's like, I'm a baby. I need my man in so many ways. He told me about my luggage. God, it got me so hot. I can't wait till he sees me in Prada, Chanel, you know, the whole banger.
And then Luke is still like in this. Everyone's sort of doing that thing where they've been yelled at. By everyone, I mean like the deckies. All the deckies are doing that thing where they've been yelled at, and so therefore they just pass the yelling down. So now Luke has been yelled at by Jason, so now he's yelling at the other people, and he's like, this takes filthy, man. This is so filthy. Look at this disgusting, filthy, this like lazy person's teak right here. And Harry's like, yeah. So, hey, did you hook up with Margot?
And he's like, I think so, sir. And he's like, well, I don't know if it's just like the first night out is the way to go, though, is it? When I saw it, I was like, "Shah!" And Luke's like, so are you keen on it then? And he's like, yeah, oh, I think it's best to get it out in the open like that. You know, I was like, wow, how like Emma Thompson movie is this? Like, I know. I just thought you should know. I have a heart for the same woman you have a heart for. May the best family name win.
It's very like Remains of the Day, Remains of the Teak. It's like, we both acknowledge our relationship, but we mustn't do this because there's a higher good we have to serve, and that higher good is Mr. Charlesworth.
And Luke's like, well, we can't let it come between us, so we'll let her decide. And Luke is...
AKA, I'm going to force my mouth onto her mouth 5 different times tonight.
Yeah.
And let her decide.
We'll let her decide if her tongue is ever free from the embrace of my tongue.
So So Luca's like, silly Harry, it's never going to go negatively. I mean, it's never going to go negatively because on this charter because I don't think Harry even has a chance. Nice guys always finish last. Always.
They do. I mean, that's true.
I don't think it's fair.
I don't root for that to happen, but it does. Literally happens every time. So
there was actually, weirdly enough, odd satisfaction in someone finally just like really embracing that. Not saying that I like that. I don't like that nice guys finish last, but people are always like, oh, I guess it's true. Nice guys finish last. Or you know what they say? Nice guys finish last. But he's actually banking on it. He's like, well, nice guys finish last. I win. And it's not that it's refreshing, but it's like at least someone's open, like acknowledging it. Like, you know what? This is the way of the world.
Well, it's nice to see that he's acknowledging that he's not nice because he's really good at putting on an act with his whole like big smile at everything and big wide open eyes. And it's nice to acknowledge that he's an asshole. As far as the good guys finish last with in relationships like this, they do. But I don't think in real life they always finish last. I think it's just like in douchey situations where it's like who's going to get fucked first? The not nice person.
Just in relationships, and fucking. Yeah.
But in every other way, the nice guy usually finishes first and then they make fun of guys like you who are still doing the same thing 30 years later and complaining about teak and trying to get like forced kisses on like young girls on boats.
Yeah, exactly. So. Just look at the last season of Regular Below Deck and look at the bosun there and you can see your trajectory. So
it's like looking at one of those smoker's lungs photos.
It's like that commercial that always airs during The View with the lady who has like the tracheotomy who's like, I smoked for 20 years.
Do they now still have that? This is my fat.
I mean, I haven't watched The View since like 2020. I was like, this is the limit.
Hole in the throat where they're like,
they always have that lady. This is me. I was a fuck boy. Now look at me.
I thought nice guys finished last. Turns out it was me.
They don't even have a tracheotomy. That's just what their voices turn into. Zarina's unpacking and she's really happy because she's like reunited with her Gucci's and Prada's and Jimmy Choo's and she's like, there's probably $60,000 to $100,000 worth of stuff in that suitcase. It sounds like I'm lugging cocaine over, doesn't it? Nothing like that. Nothing whatsoever. Just please don't put that doll I have in there in the water. I don't know if anyone ever saw traffic, but you know, things happen. Mm-hmm.
Serena, Luke, Serena, Aisha, meet me in crewmate for a preference sheet meeting. She's like, oh my god, I'm so in love with that motherfucker. Alright, so they all go down. She's in like a Chanel Prada. I wanted her to come down in like a ball gown like, hello, tiger.
I know.
It's me.
I just wanted her just to be dressed like really like all the Real Housewives of New Jersey, just with like Chanel earrings but on the wrong side of the ear and like just like Fendi, Prada, Gucci all in one shirt. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
Well, I was just gonna say it is kind of like Housewives because it's people who shouldn't really be wearing it. I'm not saying like everybody can't enjoy their brands, but I feel like brands that are that expensive, that's like fuck you money where you're. I think the only fun in it is for poor people to be like, look at that idiot with the Chanel belt that costs $500. Like, what a moron. Like, you see them while you're at the Sbarro, right? And you're like, idiot. It's fun when it's fuck you money. And then the rich people are like, I'm so rich, I don't have to care what those poor people think. Look at my stupid belt. But I think like when you don't have fuck you money, I get sad seeing people in that. Like, whenever I see Gina, like, whenever I see Gina from Orange County and like fake Fendi, I'm like, that's just sad. It just makes me sad for her. You know,
I feel bad. Well, I just feel sad for her generally when she wears anything. Just like, I'm just always sad for her. But I do think though that like the idea of bringing an entire bag of designer clothing onto a boat that you're working on, I just feel like I wouldn't do that because A, I feel like it smells down there in the dorms. I don't think you want to have designer clothes exposed to that stuff. B, like, how do they do dry cleaning on this? Do they do it when they drop it off when they're in port and pick it up again the next time they're in port? I guess that makes sense. And then C, I just feel like things will go wrong. Things will get spilled. I don't know. I feel like it's like going to a farm. You're not gonna like wear your, unless you're Heather Dubrow, you're not gonna be wearing your like Louis Vuitton around the farm, you know?
Yeah. So then no one like
No offense to fancy farmers.
So we go to the preference sheet meeting.
People need to do those jobs for us
I
to
would
have
like
caviar.
To thank all of the farmers in the world for letting the wealthy people like me live as fabulous as we do. To the maid in Prada, I would like to say, you're welcome.
To all the fancy farmers, congratulations. You'll still never be as wealthy as I am.
So, chatter to Jack Freeman. And Serena's like, oh my God, he's got to be a foodie. I can just tell. Jack Freeman is the primary. He's a luxury interior designer based in Sydney. He's got very expensive taste. Jack and his friends are foodies. It's like, oh no, I hate self-described foodies.
I know.
Horrible human being. I've never met a self-described foodie that isn't a complete fucking jackass that P.S. knows nothing about food.
Okay. Exactly. Like, I mean, theoretically, I guess, like, technically, people would probably call me a foodie, but I would never call myself a foodie, right? Like, I would
That's
say,
it.
I really
you don't
love
call
food.
Your, you don't call yourself a foodie. You wait for someone else to be like, oh, he's a foodie. Meaning, like,
yeah.
He understands food. I don't, so I'm going to call him the slur of foodie. You know the only foodie I like? The Ninja Foodie, because I feel like it's a good air fryer. Just got it on Prime Day.
Love it.
And also I feel like it's tongue-in-cheek. It's like the Ninja Foodie. It's like, so poor people can be like, oh yeah, I got your foodie. It's a Ninja air fryer, motherfucker.
Foodie, foodie, foodie. So by the way, here's something I forgot about. When I was writing these notes for later in the episode, Jack has requested all drinks served chilled with ice. So I was going to get on my high horse later on this episode about, you know, like it's realistic to serve red wine at room temperature because that's where it should be. But they did specifically say right here, they want all drinks chilled with ice. I guess maybe Aisha interpreted that as like drinks, not wine. And like not putting wine in the umbrella of quote unquote drinks.
Right. But she's also doesn't give a fuck about the ice because I think she feels like that's not regular over there, right? With that ice is in everything. It's just culturally it's not there. And these people are from Sydney. And I think she's like, fuck these people, and they're constantly wanting ice. Like she's not down for like the snotty assholes, you know, which I kind of like. I like that. I would never normally say that about a chief stew. Like I love when they just ignore what the guest wants. Mm-hmm. But there is part of Aisha that's just like, no,
dear. You know,
they're like, we like that lady. Like I need someone to come wake me up with champagne at 5 a.m. And she's like, no, we're not getting up at that time. It's fucking ridiculous. What are you, crazy? We lost your fucking mind. No, stupid. You can get it when I get up, though. And I feel like a lot of chief stews would be like, oh my God, we have to have someone up at 5 a.m. And then every episode, you'd hear that, or whatever. Oh no, the iPhone alarm. How does it go? Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Is that the iPhone?
I hear it every day, and every time like, I hear it in public, I just feel triggered, you know?
But it's like
I
can't that think fake of American Beauty music, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway, I think she's kind of fucking around with this ice. I think she's like, fuck these people and their ice requests. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Either way, the point is they did specifically request ice, and so yeah. I was going to like be just harder on them. Then I probably will be. So just so everyone knows, everyone has their expectations tempered. So night one, they want
dress. Oh my God, you're even tempering your expectations? What a foodie.
Oh my God. Guys, just please flambe your expectations right now. Okay.
Ben just put his expectations in a bowl over a pot of boiling water.
So he really wants those tempered. These expectations spent 4 hours in a sous vide machine, and then they are served actually at room temperature, but we're going to include a demi-glace that is on the warmer side.
He's like, guys, I would really like to slowly incorporate and fold in the expectations on this one. Okay.
Yeah, we're just going to bring it to temp. So anyway, they just want stuff. Okay, so Zarina is saying how she already feels behind, you know, because this awful galley and everything. And she's like, when you're proud of what you do and you're passionate and you want perfection, you can always do better. At least apparently in cooking, apparently not in art. according to my subject teacher in grade school.
So, beach picnic tomorrow. Jazz is like, who's Jason? Is like, last charter, it was 10 out of 10 for effort, but 5 out of 5 for results. Now, we've got an extra girl, and deck will be extra today, so we should be back on track. And then we see the suitcase rolling up the dock, and we hear, oh, hell yeah, brother. And then we see memories of some kind of animal pelt and a Viking costume and a huge gold chain. You guys excited?
And Australia's favorite young American, who looks sort of like an old American, but maybe a middle-aged American. He's age ambiguous. It's Culver. He is back. As the teeth. Predicted. The teeth. The wide, 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 big teeth.
Culver Teeth is back. And wait, he's not Canadian. He's not Australian. Where's he from?
He's from Montana, he's from Maryland. Right? He's from Maryland, but that like the Maryland he's returned cowboy, to Australia. He's returned to Australia, where all the Aussies are thrilled to have there. I'm basically just saying that, like, he looks young and he looks old all at the same time.
Yeah. He's like, your boy's back in Australia. And then there's electric guitar music. I was like, wow, yeah, that Maryland. There's that Maryland heavy metal.
Here he is.
Maryland.
Your boy's back, the CEO's back, and I know what I know you know what that stands for. Chief Entertainment Officer. Buckle up and get ready. We're gonna have ourselves a good time this season.
And Culver is very much from the school of Bravo, because they cut to evidence of him being really fun and he's wearing a mullet. So that is Bravo, that is standard Bravo. Fun straight guy stuff.
Yep.
Like, oh my God, I've got a mullet wig. Yes, fun. Hire him for 10 years.
So Jason's like, how are your travels? He's like, very smooth travels. It's like, great to hear that. So we have to talk about last season. Good energy, but yet a little bit of a down there. So we had some flashbacks of how, like, Culver was really fun. But then, like, late in the season, Culver ate a lot of cereal. And everyone's like, why is he eating so much cereal?
Culver got tired, okay? And he goes, nah, this time you tell me to jump and I'm going to say, how high do you want me to jump? I got a great captain who needs me, so here I was like, could you please talk faster and also move your mouth? Like, sometimes I feel like he's just like working one of those puppets. What do you call those puppets?
Marionettes?
A ventriloquist.
Oh, yeah.
A marionette.
Dummy.
He's like a ventriloquist. He talks just kind of like that. He's like, I'm Culver. You see him smile, but not the words being formed in my mouth.
Yeah, he's throwing his voice. So then Jason's like, Jason, Aisha, please come to the bridge. So she walks in. She's like, just goes on for 10 minutes. Like, it's the next 20 minutes of the show.
And looks like, look at this excitement. Do you know how lucky we are? This guy, everyone, this guy once wore a mullet wig. A mullet. Can you believe it?
I'm so excited. So Culver comes in and they're like hugging everything, and then he starts to meet everyone, and then Culver meets Zarina. He's like, I'm gonna be your biggest fan, I love to eat. And Harry's like, sounds like you got a new mate, because it's both Americans, am I right?
And Adam goes, yeah, I got a new best friend. I was like, I didn't take that seriously when he said it. But the rest of the episode, I'm like, wow, Adam really meant that. Adam was like, fuck these foreigners. I got an American now. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, he basically just like stopped being friends with Harry this episode. So
He just decided, like, I've got another American. We're going to Australia together. Like, fuck this guy. You know?
Yeah. My Kangaroo Jack dream is finally coming true. It doesn't work when the whole point of two Brooklynites going to Australia is that they've never been to Australia before. So it doesn't work when it's like a Brooklyn guy and Australia guy, because the Australia guy's been there before. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Kangaroo Jack has to be accurate.
Yeah, and also, you know, someone's being hateful whenever they say things like, bro, it's just how you talk. It's like hilarious. It's like, yeah, you're a piece of shit. Okay. I can't wait to see Adam slowly. Well, I guess we are watching Adam slowly lose it, because he's going to go crazy here.
Yeah. So, So, Zarina is telling Aisha that her suitcase arrived, and then Luke goes and hugs Margot, and he's like, hey, I'd like to apologize for forcefully kissing you last night. I'm probably going to do it 5 more times tonight, but I just want to apologize for last night so I don't get behind in my pace.
Oh, she's don't like, apologize. I didn't want that to happen. You don't got to apologize. They just don't want you to feel too bad.
Margot, you're killing me.
Yeah. And Luke's like, well, I don't feel bad. I just don't want you to feel upset. I was like, oh, well, that's great. That's great.
He's like, I'm apologizing, but I don't feel bad. Okay. So then he's like, but I enjoyed it. It was good. And she's like, and then he tells us, she loved it. Margot's got that innocent country girl style, but I think she also knows there's a naughty side to her. So the rudder's in the water, the line is wet. Let's see if we pull anything up. Oh.
As we all know, no means yes. So then Harry has a stain on his shirt, so he goes to the laundry room, and Margot's there. And she's like, oh, I'll take care of this. We're just going to do some spot treatment, you know. And here, let me show you how we take care of dirty clothes, okay? You put in the laundry, and you press the button, and you let it go. That's called laundry there, sweetheart. And he's like,
oh, she did my laundry right. And I actually put my laundry in there.
It's like, oh, see, I'd totally be a better choice for Margot than Luke. I mean, if she just sees it, you know, I haven't had a relationship in 5 years ever since I was cheated on. Here we go. My sad backstory. Commence.
I met my girlfriend when I was 19 at a computer store, and my best mate, the computer store, starts chatting her up, though, and then she cheats on me with him. Nice guys can finish last, but I'm hoping Margot's better than that, although this might just be another Geek Squad moment at the fries. But
this poor computer store story. I don't even know there were computer stores anymore outside the Apple store. So
well, it was when he was 19, so I think it was like the last fries in wherever he's from. Like, you know?
The last Radio Shack of Australia. Like, yeah. And then after that, they had to close them all down. So,
and you know she fucked the guy from the TV section. I feel like those are always the guys who get laid in the store, in those stores. I always want to fuck those guys because they just have such a confidence about them in the TV section. They're like, that one is OLED. So anybody wants to know... don't want to know what that is? Okay, how about QLED? Okay, no one cares, okay? Big dick energy. I got big TV energy right here.
Yeah.
Bitch. Well, because
in Target, they get their own little counter, you know? It's like, we got our own separate counter. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, little known secret, you can check out some things here, too. Because I think you can purchase little things at that counter, right?
It's like, you can.
Don't go to the main register. You can buy it here.
You can.
So of course they're cocky.
Yeah, they're cocky. Well, it's like the prescription people, but then everybody takes advantage of them. Like you can get your prescription and also buy a couple of things at that counter.
Yeah.
But then people bring their entire cart over. They're like, "What? I got some ibuprofen, and I have 90 things to check out. Do it."
Yeah.
Like, really.
I do like going to the Starbucks in my grocery store and like, I'm like, I'll have a cold brew, please. And can you also scan this chicken, please? Thank you very much. Like, sort of like sneaking a chicken purchase.
I don't like supermarket Starbucks. I feel like they're very resentful of me in there, just of the customer in general. I feel like they're like, fuck you. What do you think this is, a fucking Starbucks just because it says it? It's like, you know, when you used to go into Barnes and Noble to their Starbucks and order the same thing you would order. And they're like, we're not a Starbucks. Like, but it says Starbucks. They're like, yeah, but we're not a Starbucks. It says Starbucks. Can you take okay, I'm going to pay with my Starbucks card. They're like, yeah, we don't take those. We're not.
That's where I get mad when they don't take the card or they won't like do whatever promotions available. And I'm like, go fuck yourself then. And don't call yourself Starbucks.
Yeah, they're like, we're called Starbucks, but we hate you. This is the Starbucks trap where we trap people that we hated, and you've been trapped at the Target Starbucks, sucker.
Oh yeah, the Target one's pretty bad. Airport Starbucks are obviously the worst, but that's a whole other story.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
No. So Harry hugs Margot after this laundry thing. He's like, can we do that again? And she goes, huh, well, in about 1 hour and 9 minutes. That's a little laundry humor for you. Okay, little boy, get out of here.
Harry's even asking for laundry consent, you know, and then you've got the other one over there like, oh yeah, can't wait to fuck her with her eyes closed. So she'll then, love it. Yeah, can't wait to surprise her with my dick next time. It's like, So then Captain and Aisha are calling his daughter. So he's calling his daughter Sassy. And Aisha's there just to make, you know, door squealing noises as she does.
Sassy!
Saskia!
So he, Jason, tells a story about how he went back to the Philippines last season to see his daughter, and borders were closed because of the pandemic. So it was 2 years since I'd seen her last, and we got back right where we left off. Cuddles and kisses and sleeping at night, adventure stories and living the life that she always lives. Little island girl, she's amazing. I'm like, you're turning her into like a YA novel, right? Like, that felt very like something pulled out of literature.
Yeah, she does sound like a little wildling, you know? Just like barefoot. And like, you're like, Sassy, you're scaring me. Where are you? And then she's just upside down, like dropping down from a tree, like, Chicksy Daddy. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. She's friends with all the bats in the trees.
she doesn't go to school. but she learns everything by just like looking in from the outside.
Yeah. She's okay, like,
Yeah. Now, so Aisha and Culver chat about being on a new boat, and they're very excited to see each other, and provisions come, and I like that Serena goes right down to the provisions person and goes, let's look at your meat then, because I feel like that doesn't happen often, you know? They wait, and they're like, wait a minute, this meat sucks.
I agree. She actually does it in front of the provisioners. They can figure it out. Also cool that she's like, she just starts there instead of like standing in the galley waiting for everything to come to her. Yeah. So and she's also like flirting with the guy, which is funny. So then Culver just loving. He just loves this boat. There's all the space. He's like, yeah, you can like bang out workouts right here. That's pretty good for the CEO fun. Am I right? Jason,
this has got an explorer vibe for it, huh? This boat, it's kind of like an explorer boat, or what? It's called an expedition boat, you fucking non-competition man. It's like, oh, Luke's going to be very worried about Culver, I think.
Hi, this is your Captain Jason. Just want to poke my head in here and just remind you, Culver, that this is actually a boat from 1977. It was a fishing vessel from Japan, refurbished. They did a flip on it. Just want to make sure that was known to everyone on the crew. All right.
One prop. Goodbye. One prop. Did one anybody prop. Say one prop? Anybody say one prop yet?
It's got all one right. prop.
Got one Next prop. Person who passes Culver and doesn't say one prop is wearing the disco helmet. Got me. So let's take a moment and go to Latvia Undermining. Dun, 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 dun. We need a better title for that.
Latvia Undermining.
Latvia. Undermined Viening. I don't know. We'll come up with something.
Latvia,
no, you didn't.
It's too Latvia to apologize.
It's too Latvia to apologize.
It's too Latvia.
Dun, 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 dun. So, you want this wine in the fridge, this Cabernet Sauvignon?
No, just chill the white wine, not the red wine.
It's not going to be good temperature.
Most people drink room temperature wine anyway.
As you want.
As you want.
Thank you for joining us for this yet untitled segment on Watch It Crappens.
Currently under the working name Latvia Undermining. Is it Latvia colon undermining, or is it Latvia comma?
Latvian no undermining. Oh, you're right. That could work different ways. Like, it's a Latvian who's undermining, but it also could be like Latvian style undermining.
I got a lot of Latvian of living to do.
Latvian rose. Latvian nose.
Latvian be a lady tonight.
Latvian nose. Like Latvian rose.
Latvian.
Okay. Latvia. Okay, we need to move on. Okay, so Serena.
15 minutes, I guess.
Serena's in her bra and bikini getting changed, and Harry passes her open door, and he's like,
Chef! Oh, Chef!
She's like, what's wrong with you? It's the same as wearing a bikini. He's like,
I wasn't expecting that.
Oh. He's just standing there flailing in the wind with his mouth agape.
Flails down the hallway. Oh, my God. So then last looks, make sure everything's good. Oh, no, the master bedroom, it's still super wrinkly. And here come the guests. Everyone gives them a wave. Everyone waves at the guests. The guests wave back. And they have arrived. The guests are here. Jack. Jack is the guest. He's our primary guest. And Cindy is his friend.
He's like, hi. I was like, oh, God, Jack seems fun. Also, not to get on, you know, Aisha too much. I know the season is just starting, and I'm no one's boss, right? But this walking around with Febreze wrinkle spray for all of the pillows, that stuff smells so chemically. I would be pissed if I walked into a room that smelled like Febreze wrinkle spray. Steam the shit. Steam it. What are you doing? Is this how they do it every day? I would go crazy sleeping on all that chemical smell. Okay,
yeah,
I said it.
No, I think it's a well observed. It's a good note. Good note, Aisha, for
so
your
Jack's
next
like, thank you. Jack's like, this boat is giving me Polar Express vibes, and Aisha's like, I love that.
Say expedition. Save yourself. Call it an expedition boat.
It's an polar expedition, please.
So she said, these guests seem like the classic young, rich, Sydney rich kids that spent $300 on a plain white t-shirt, like daddy's money, Range Rovers, no buckets to shit in your old ambulance. Like, that's fine. Like, what Jack wants, Jack shall get.
And she is showing them the rooms, and there's one room with two beds, and one of the girls is like,
oh, is this peasant headquarters with a single bed? Is this where the peasants go?
Because you know who has to deal with these rich kids all the time? Van people. Because rich kids are like, oh my God, I'm a van person now. And then they get like the nicest $500,000 van, and they travel all over, and they like mingle with the real van people.
Yeah,
they get people hate rich kids.
Oh my God. Like Frances McDormand hates them. But you know, they're also the kids that like bring like super fancy RVs to Burning Man, you know? So, yes. You know, they are. So, Laura, meanwhile, is like,
Aisha, oh, here comes another welcome back.
We really did not have a lot of time to work on that title because we're already ready for another segment.
It's a very popular segment. Of Latvia it's already back, guys. It's already back.
LM. So she's like, Aisha, guests would like to have some water. Where's jugs? Show me jugs. She's like, oh, don't worry about jugs. Just pour the water.
She's like, from plastic like this?
She said, no, pour it here and bring the glasses out there.
And Laura's like, oh, everyone wants something different, so better from jugs. And Aisha's like, okay, fine, here's the jugs. As you like.
Ooh, I like that chord at the end of Mystery. Like something is afoot.
Turn it minor. That's how you get a little mystery, Santa. I learned it in piano class. Mm-hmm. So then they're doing the lines. And as they do the lines, okay, because they're trying to be dramatic. But instead, this time we get wacky music, which is really weird. Like, time to do the lines. Like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, okay, it's a wacky line segment. I'm in. They're changing it up.
Wacky lines. So Adam's asking Culver for advice on something pertaining to lines or docking or something boaty, and Culver's like, I don't know, or whatever, I'll do this or that, whatever. And Adam's like, I just don't want to be standing here doing nothing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, so Adam is revealing himself to be one of those people who's not necessarily always going to be working, but when he's not working, so that way people don't get mad at him, he's going to act fussy. So it seems like he is working.
I think he's going to try and make everyone else look lazy to make himself look smart. You know what I mean? Like when dumb people try to make everyone else look dumb so they look smarter than them. Because he does it later in the episode. And this is because Culver is saying, you just keep the lions out for a minute just in case there's some kind of engine failure, right, and we need the lines.
Oh, the lines.
We need
the
we need to use the lines again. So you just usually wait for a minute. So he's telling Adam what to do, and Adam's like, "Dude, I've been here before you, and now what? I'm bottom rung below you, noob." So I think he's threatened by Culver, the new guy, telling him what to do. So he's like, "Oh yeah, well I don't want to stand here doing nothing. Like at least I'm not lazy like you." Is how I'm right. taking it. Adam's like a little mystery box.
Yeah.
He's, but a very obvious one. It's like that poker face show where you know the ending at the beginning. You're just watching her kind of bumble around it.
Yeah. Well, he is the sort of person that leads with, I just want to, you know, I treat my siblings like they're my own kids. I just want to buy my mom her own house. Like all that nice stuff to mask the fact that he's just an asshole. Yeah. So, Luke is telling Adam to coil a line so it doesn't get tangled, and Adam's like, just send it down bro. And Luke's like, bro, we're gonna have to have you a yacht, we're gonna make you a yacht deckie by the end of this or something like that. But Adam's just now, he's just being fussy, and he's like in a cubbyhole down in like inside the deck, and he's being fussy. He's not even on camera, but his fuss is coming out of the hole. He's got like hole fuss coming out.
Yeah, all they're telling him is we're sending down the line, make sure you put it in a circle so it doesn't get tangled. He's like, just give it to me, bro. And Luke's like, oh, we're gonna make you he's like, I'm gonna teach you to tie a bowline. And he's like, oh, I know a bowline. All right, okay. Geez.
Guarantee he's like, that's Henry the Eighth's seventh wall if I know here.
He thinks it's like literally throwing balls at pins.
Yeah.
So then the guests are doing shots. They order tequila, and the wind comes and knocks down some glasses. And one of the girls is like, can you save my Chanel bags, please? Can you save my Chanel?
By the way, I just want to say, as minor justice for these children, that the previews for this episode, the arc of the preview was this. Oh my God, these like rich assholes are coming on the boat. And then it's like, look at them. Rich, spoiled brats just breaking glasses because they can. And by the way, they're just like on the boat and the wind blows the glasses over. I know. Totally got framed by the preview.
I know. They're like kind of lovely so
they're
far.
Like normal.
Like they're spoiled, but they're
spoiled,
fine.
But normal. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're, you know, it's below deck where they're trying to make drama out of nothing. The episode is called Ice, Ice, Maybe. Okay. So if that tells you.
I like it. Laura's like, hello, time for episode of working title Latvian Undermining. How about cannot? How about that? Do you like that for title? I don't know. I work in publishing for 15 years.
Almost settled yesterday, can-cans and can't-cants. I was like, you know, keep working on it.
What did you name it ultimately again?
It wasn't great. It wasn't very good. I forget what it was called. Doesn't matter. It's over. The past doesn't matter.
Moulin Rouge.
Only the future.
Moulin Rouge.
Oh, Moulin Rouge would have been good too. No, hold on. Let me look. Now I have to look at my own stupid title. Below Deck Down Under is... Oh, I named it after Margot. I named it Margot Ships, like cargo ships. But I just really liked Margot. And I was going to call it Fargo and make like a movie poster of Fargo, but with her face. And I was like, that's too much. And it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Damn it. I liked yours, Moulin Rouge. That's so good. You're so good at titles.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. You've had so many good titles, Ronnie.
Not about me. It's about you.
It's about, you know what it is? It's about the creative spirit. You know who would have had the best title of all? Laura.
So in this episode, wait, Laura?
The Latvian. I just have a better idea, but as
I've
you
been
wish.
Making titles 15 years.
Margo Ship, as you wish.
So in another, in a follow-up epilogue to Latvian Undermining is Latvian, I was right, I told you so.
Yes.
So Aisha brings out some rosé, and Laura's right behind her with some water, and one of the girls is like, can I get some ice, darling? They're like, I would love some ice, darling, as well. Darling, I need ice as well, darling. And Aisha, Laura's just looking at her like, stupid woman. And Aisha's like, well, these guests have Michelin star taste, and they're like, can I get some ice in this? It's just so weird.
Yes, and Laura is just like deeply satisfied by this. By the way, I actually don't think it's that. I mean, it's not the standard, it's not the convention to put ice in your red wine, but I'm not personally opposed to it, I have to say. But that being said, I do think only one of them truly wanted ice in their wine, and then the rest were like, oh my God, Cindy put ice in her wine. I want ice in my wine too. I'll have ice in my wine too. I'm a foodie too. Ice in my wine.
So the captain is joining them for dinner, and Serena's like, fuck, the captain's joining them for dinner. Do you want me to run my menu with you? All right, tuna tartare, duck bao bun. They said before informal dinner party thing. Is this not high end? I mean, I guess it's high end. Is it high end? What am I even doing with my goddamn life?
Australia has some of the most high-end restaurants in the world, and they know food, okay? And having high-end people from Sydney in, I'm looking at the menu, I'm thinking, is it enough? I can't help but pick it apart. I know I'm a very good-looking lady, and I'm a top shagger. Jason will find that out soon enough. But when it comes to food, it's a bit different.
And then she goes, all right, Aisha, love you. And she's like, love you! So then the anchor drops, probably.
Again, on the reef. Yeah. Enjoy that.
Did Finding Nemo 3.
They're like, deadline comes out. The production has stopped on Finding Nemo 3 after an anchor ruined the set.
Ellen DeGeneres has been killed.
Dory has been found under an anchor and she's dead.
So, let's see. Kook. I don't know who's that. I guess that's Luke. Culver? Is like Culver, yeah. Or Luke, I don't know.
Or a cucumber. Maybe there's like an actual cucumber that has a scene. Like, hey, I'm your talking cucumber. I'm here from Latvia also, but I talk like this.
That's if Culver and Luke ever dated, they would be Kook. Yeah, Kook. So anchor's at the bottom and looks like, so Culver, I'll just pull my stern in a bit so we don't hit the bow with the tinder. And one of the ladies is like, I'm already ready to swim. I just need to take my wig off. And then Harry throws a line from the tender and hits Adam with it on accident. And Adam's like, hey, watch it, bro. All right. Yo. Just listen. Yo, next time, just go a little slower. All right. God.
Yeah. I mean, like with the bow, like I'll walk it. I'll pull it tight. God, go slower, bro. And he's like, you see what I'm saying? You know, like you get the stone, like you see what I'm saying? You do this, you wrap it around that, bro, like a kangaroo. You ever see Kangaroo Jack? Of course you didn't, because you're a fucking idiot. So Harry's like, I got you, mate. You know, I'm way more experienced than him when it comes to yachting and quite frankly, selling computers. And I've been hands on my entire career. And he sat in a classroom and learned the rules. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and Adam's walking around going, fend us out, goggles, sunscreen, swim ladder. We need the swim ladder. He's just trying to look like a big man in front of Culver.
Oh, my God.
And it is hilarious.
You know what he is?
It is such a guy thing. It's like, ooh, the new guy. I better be above the new guy.
You know? He is the lifeguard at the community pool, walking along the side of the pool, doing that thing with the whistle. It's twirl, twirl to the left, twirl, twirl to the right, and just sort of walking, hey. That ice cream cone is too close to the water. You got to back that up. Like, that is him.
Yeah. So they start playing with water toys and stuff. And Cassandra's like, oh my God, I lost my diamonds. And she was on one of those, I don't know, things that pull you through the waters. What are they?
Seabob.
A seabob? So she's on that. And she lost her diamonds. And I was like, well, you're fucked because that's in the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. And Aisha's, of course, squealing about it. And she goes, but you know what? I lose stuff all the time. They always come back. And one of the gays goes, they find their way. And I was like, yeah, that is privilege. Because your dad just buys you more, you know?
Literal privilege. Like, it just always comes back to me.
But then later it turns out that she is really magical.
She really does. She does have diamond privilege.
So I'm just apologizing early to Cassandra, who I called just a nothing spoiled little brat. And now I'm like, she's legit amazing. I'm going to look for her online.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. That football player from Below Deck Med last season, he went into the ocean with that $50,000 chain around his neck. And that was gone. So
that was hilarious. And he made them go look for it. They're like, sir, this is called an ocean. Okay. It's pretty big. Stupid.
But it was under the anchor all the time. So then it's nighttime, and Laura's setting a table, and Aisha's like having Margot help with something, and the guests are getting ready. And so Luke starts telling Adam how to do anchor watch, because we haven't had anchor watch yet so far. So Adam's like, so like when I stand the anchor watch normally, like we don't leave the bridge. And Luke's like, okay, that's fine. But like when people get stuck on the bridge, then they just like end up on their phone not paying attention, okay? And he's like, yeah, well, Harry, I think you're going to have to do the bridge tonight, okay? Because I think I'm too fucking qualified for this.
And they're like, no. And Luke's like, okay, well, here's, you don't get to just stay in here the whole time. You walk around, you clean, you do the teak, you do all this stuff, right? So Luke's like, if the vessel is greater than 22.5 degrees above the Bing, then this vessel will be overtaking this vessel. So this one, wait, what?
Wait, no, because this is what happens.
This is Adam who does it, right?
Well, because Adam, after Luke makes this assignment or whatever, Adam goes, okay, well, if you want to be a smartass, then let me teach you something, okay? Why don't you tell me what vessel is the giveaway? Tell me what situation that this is, since you're such a smartass.
And he draws all this stuff on the whiteboard.
Like the UPS commercial guy.
God, this guy's so annoying. He's the worst. So this is him saying that. He's like, yeah, if the vessel is greater than 2025, blah, 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 then what's this one? This one's going 20 miles an hour, then what's this one? If there's an apartment under a bridge and a mom needs a house, how many shifts on a cargo ship being more overqualified than you losers does this guy need to be? And they're like, what kind of math is this? It's like idiot math. You know?
It was also like, it just was some strange whiteboard flex. So Luke is like, Adam's got all these qualifications about, but I'm thinking that he's covering up his lack of ability to be good, be a good deckie by trying to shine with the rules of proper navigation of the boat. But that's not the job. We're not doing any of that. So, then.
Dude, Adam, I'm so sorry, babe, but you're a literal idiot who came on a boat show and admitted that you purposely paid your way out of having to learn to swim. You are never going to have respect, and you're probably going to drown one day, and nobody's going to, everyone's just going to kind of chuckle. Like, the guy from Below Deck who refused to learn how to swim, that is hilarious. So he did drown? That's good. Adam, you're not setting yourself up for success, okay? No. Your mom's going to be renting forever. There, I said it.
You're going to have to sell your remaining copy of Kangaroo Jack to put food on the table. I'm so sorry. So, Laura, I'm sorry. I'll have to pull up the Sound of Music music. Laura's like, that is, I wrote what that. It is, isn't it? It was from So Long Farewell. She's like, hey, hello. Welcome back to Tales of Undermining, starring Laura, Latvian princess. So, Aisha.
I like that you just made the title longer. Like, that's what it needed. You know what that title needed? Length.
Well, no, that's just what Laura would call it, but that's not what we're going to call it. I wasn't available, so Laura stepped in for to name it. She's like, I have title suggestion. It's a very meta segment, I tell you. So Laura's like, Aisha, I think we need buckets for ice, for white wine. And Aisha's like, no, we're just going to wait until they ask. It's like, keep it like nice and simple for us. She goes, oh, well, for me, it's okay. Okay, good luck.
Since I come from event industry, I know guests. I know what guests want. I very easily become connected to them. Aisha, I think our standards could be higher. At least if I were chief stew. Oh, God, I was waiting to hear that. My standards would be quite higher.
If I were chief stew. If I were chief stew. If I were chief stew.
Bugsy.
Bugsy. Echoes of Bugsy.
Yep.
I bring the thunder. So.
So then they're changing, and let's see. Aisha's sitting. Basically, Aisha's getting help with Culver to run and help with dishes and all that. Adam goes to bed. Culver is loving the food. Everybody loves the table settings. And Serena's talking to Aisha, and she's like, all right, we're going to serve the captain tonight, but let me know when the captain's there so I can just sit there and stare at him and say, am I worthy? Am I worthy of your love? How much she like me?
And then the guests show up at the table, and it's just like, everyone, welcome to your wine pairing dinner. Or I guess for you guys, you'll be pairing ice with your wine. So they start with a tuna tartare, which I feel like the tuna tartare was a little
too big.
Big. Yes, it was big.
My word is unwieldy.
Okay, it was way too big. Like, it was crumbling in the kitchen. Like it was too big to hold together.
No one wants that much raw tuna. Nobody. Literally
nobody.
That was
a share size.
It was crazy.
It was too big. It looked actually a little grayish, which meant that it was probably assembled way too early. That's what we've learned from Top Chef. And also, like, I love a tuna tartare. I'm always happy with a tuna tartare. But realistically, if you're trying to impress foodies, tuna tartare a little dated. I mean, it's a signature thing for Lisa Vanderpump. That should say enough.
Yeah, what's next? Beaten goat cheese salad, girl. Right? I don't know. I just saw that the other day someplace. Yeah, and I was like, really? Are we still doing that? Every restaurant still has that here. So also, they're asking for ice immediately, which is funny. I'm taking beet chews for my blood pressure. What do you think of that? Okay, so the lady's like, and sometimes I take some feta as well after. So I'm kind of living that dream.
Wow. So everyone wants ice for their Chablis, and then everyone's just like all about it. Everyone wants their ice and their red wine and everything. And so then a guest is talking to Jason, and he's like, thank you so much for taking the time to eat with us. And the girl goes, oh, by the way, though, who's driving the ship? They all are laughing.
Can we have some ice? There are some things I don't know better, but there are some things I know better. I know can-can, I know guests. Told you. So Laura's like, did you hear about chilled red wine, Aisha? She's like, yeah. The guests wanted it.
Yeah, we're two of them then.
Yes, but it is like thing. It is thing. She's like,
well, we can give it to them when they want it like that then. Now, I don't know if she's trying to insinuate that I'm doing a bit jewel, but there's no way I would have ever called out one of my chief steers. Never.
We don't have the space, girl. And Laura goes, well, for one or two bottles we could always find. I mean, but you're the boss. As you wish.
So then we go to Paramunda.
I feel like it should just be called As You Wish Theater. So As You Wish. Now Zarina is cooking this fish. By the way, also the duck bao looks delicious. Doesn't feel very high end, I have to say. So
too big, no?
It's too like big, it's messy.
Taco. It's like a bao bun taco, but it's like...
Like, you could do a high-end version of it, but that was not the high. I don't know why I'm coming down on Zarina about this, but, like, you know, since I have, you know, seven called a foodie by a theoretical person who called that to me, I have to live up to it now.
Well, also, it's just a show, you know? Like, you watch Top Chef and part of the... you watch Below Deck and part of the fun is seeing the chef do fancy stuff, you know? And she's just not. And she's so nice and stuff that I think the chef is like letting it go, but he sees it too. You know, he just seems kind of like, I like it. And look how long it took to get a deckie, you know? So,
right. By the way, speaking of Top Chef, did you see that Padma was on Sesame Street?
Oh my God. No. What was that like?
She posted a video of it and she's like, the letter F is for food, as in all that Gail sees around her. Anyway, let's see what you have made for me. So it was Cookie Monster. It was Oscar the Grouch. I forget the first one. Maybe it was Elmo. And then there's a newer Sesame Street, which is like a pink lady with little blonde hair. And Pam is just judging them. She's like, so what do you have for me? And it was adorable and wonderful. I loved it. Everyone should go watch
Padma's so full of shit. Oh my God. Someone sent a clip from her Hulu show to me and or to us. And I was laughing so hard. She goes to this slider restaurant. She goes, wow, I love the roundness in here. Because it was a round restaurant. It was like a round room. And then she goes, so tell me about the slider. I want to sit right by the grill. And so he's like, well, you know, you make a burger, then you put an onion, then you put it on a bun. And she gets it and she goes, wow, I really like the burger to bun ratio. Because some people really think they need to serve burgers that are 4 inches tall. And you really don't need that. I was like, how long did Padma spend in her trailer coming up with the burger to bun ratio? I can't with her.
You literally have an iconic commercial where you're biting into a burger that big. Yeah, the one
that's so true. And also, fuck you for quitting Top Chef. I'm literally furious with Padma. I'm like, go have fun being a fucking snob on your stupid snob show. Okay, who did we steal the slider from? Like, shut up, Padma. I'm
furious. I watched it last night. Actually, I watched
her show's canceled.
I love her show, but she went to Florida. She's like, welcome to Tarpon Springs, Florida. There are Greek people here, and they dive for sponges. Wow, Gail, someone's fetching your breakfast.
Wow. Here we are to eat some fresh Greek feta cheese, otherwise known as... Gail, you left your bikini bottoms at the pool again.
Wow, look at this saganaki. It's basically deep-fried Gail's toothpaste.
Saganuki. That's what's called when Gail makes sex tapes.
Wow, I just love all this beautiful spanakopita. You know, I love phyllo dough. It reminds me of hanging around with Gail, watching that dandruff just flake off her head.
Okay, we're not saying that about Gail. Padma is save your angry letters to those people who don't listen to Tasha.
We love Gail. We just think that Padma thinks that of Gail. Anywho, Zarina, please present your fish. So, Aisha goes up to Jason and she like whispers into his ear and she goes, "How is it?" And then they all laugh because it looks sort of like sexy, I guess, because she's breathing into his ear.
And Aisha's like, "I love breath on the ear, don't you?" And Jack's like, "I would love breath on the ear from one of those hot deckhands." And she's like, "Oh, guys, the primary wants a man to breathe in his ear, Culver." And so Culver's like, "I'll do it. I'm the chief of fun. As a chief stew, you always gotta have a good entertainment officer by your side. I always go balls out to help Aisha. We help and they tip."
So the next dish comes out and he's just like, "Enjoy your meal."
I was like, that didn't really sound that sexy. It just sounded terrifying. Like he had a gun to the back of Jack's back. Enjoy a barramundi, motherfucker. Now give me your wallet. But Jack loved it. He like cracked up. So Jason then is telling the group that he hasn't seen his daughter in 2 years. So one of the girls is like, "So there's a Mrs. Chambers, And Jack is like, "Oh, look, she's trying to get to be Mrs. Captain Chambers. That's what she wants." And the girl's like, "Oh, shut up. You're the one who has a wet dream about him."
Oh, God. And everyone's cracking up, except Jason, really. And he's like, "Wow. Great."
He's like, "I hope Saskia doesn't see this."
So they're all cracking up. And then Jason just starts laughing to us. He's like, "Wow." So then Margot is smelling her armpits. And Harry's asking her if they're early. And he's like, "I'm early too. We should have an early coffee." And she goes, "Can we? Oh my God, let's do it." It's like, oh God, this is never going to happen, Harry.
That was a very like, I'll drink coffee with you the way I drink coffee with my brother vibe, you know?
It really
brother
was.
Coffee. It was definitely brother coffee vibe. Yeah. So now they're like, guests love the food. Culver's clearing the plates. Jason goes and hugs Zarina in the kitchen afterwards. He goes, "It was really good." And she goes, "Never let go."
He's like, "I don't know." She's like, "I don't know if I'll do that fish again. I don't really like how that came out." And he's like, "Serena's a very good chef. I just feel like she focuses on the negative side of things, you know? Just stay flat-footed." So then Aisha sends Margot down, and Harry and Margot are talking in the mess. So he's like, "We're going to have another night out soon, aren't we? It's going to be hilarious." And she's like, "Oh, I'm not going to go. Just kidding." And then he cracks up, and then
He got Margot.
And here comes the great disruptor, Luke. He's like, "What are you doing? If you're just going to sit here, you could have helped us." I'm like, "Okay, we know what you're doing."
Yeah. So Harry goes to bed. And so Luke's like, "You know what? Now that I got you alone, Margo, you know what I'm loving? Not being on my phone. Okay. I'm worried, you know, but I'm a little worried because people aren't texting me." She goes, "Oh, yeah, that's kind of sad. Hey, I'll send you a little message. Will that make you feel better? I'll text you right now." You got the green bubbles, huh? Android. That's a shame. I'm sorry for you.
He's like, "Yeah, hit me up on the gram. Send me a little emoji." I'm like, oh, God. It's like, that's how you're getting to her Instagram. That's so... You're even creepy about that.
So
he just wants to say that she did it first, later. "Oh, really? Well, she's the one who started it. Look at this little heart emoji she sent me on the Instagram. It's the beginning of our conversation." So transparent.
I am so caffeinated right now, and all this stuff is like swirling around in my brain. Like, I feel like it's the climax of that like Spider-Man into the multiverse thing, where it's just like I'm seeing images. I'm like, coffee, Harry walking down a hallway, Adam roaming around, like
duck bow. But if my brain and my notes tell me correctly, now it's time for Adam to be on anchor watch or like lates, overnights. So he has a checklist of what he needs to do. And he has to check the boat and the lines every 15 minutes, empty the bins, rinse the main aft and the main aft teak and the table, and then also assist the night crew stew. So we see him and he's doing things and it looks like he's doing a good job. I'm like, okay, feels like everything's good. Laura goes to bed. He's like, I'm going to help you out. Like, don't worry, I'll take care of this. And then he's like boasting. He's like, you know what? Like, on when I'm on other boats, like, I'm on the bridge for like 8 hours a day, standing navigational watch. So for me, like, night shift is like pretty easy. But
when he goes to bed, he doesn't do something from his list, and it's the teak. And we see him passing it, and he's like, looks good enough to me. It's like, oh, there you go. Failure. So real then, cargo attitude. Harry and Margo have their little morning coffee date, and it's boring, you know? And he's like, coffee time. She's like, coffee time. That would be cute if this was our new ritual, right? And he goes, it is. She goes, oh, cool. I didn't want to, like, jump the gun on the whole, you know, see you for coffee kind of thing. And
brother,
then Luke.
Wait, I want to say, I loved their coffee ritual. I thought it was so cute because I love little rituals like that with friends. Although I guess the key word there is friends.
It's not a ritual. It's like they literally just saw each other and are standing there and they just got out of bed. It's weird. So then Luke, of course, ruins it. He's like, hi, cutie. He's like, get the fuck out of here. How did you know they're having their coffee ritual? Leave them alone. They're having their
coffee ritual, okay? We have now elevated it to ritual officially because you've interrupted it.
Yeah, go force kiss the Keurig, fucker.
I know. So like, then Harry has to go away. And then Luke takes over the ritual. Luke has co-opted. That's not fair, because now he's like, oh, I need to smash some coffee. I'm like, you've ruined the vibe of the coffee ritual, saying you need to smash some coffee.
But she's not helping, because she goes, me too. I need to smash some coffee too. And he goes, all right, let me massage you. She goes, oh, God, that feels so good. Stop. I hate him.
It's not a time to massage. This is supposed to be time for like a nice platonic ritual between two people.
He's just so fucking creepy. I hate how every season, it seems like the girls are just brought on as fucking jerk-off sleeves that you see in porn stores, you know? They're just like, okay, she's cute. Let's just put her in there and just let the guys, like, fucking massage their backs and lick their ears and force kisses. It's just fucking gross, dude.
Yeah. We need a female bosun. I guess Blood Deck Med tried that, but we got Reagan. So, Luke... we have Malia. Malia,
yeah. It's not like they can't be monsters, but at least they're like not sexual harassing monsters, you know?
Just regular monsters. Just like professional monsters.
Can you just go to work without having someone come up behind you and just start massaging you and fucking kissing your neck and shit? Fuck off, man. It makes me crazy. But then it's like, well, what is she supposed to do about it, you know? It's just gross. It's gross that it happens season after season. Also, I hate Luke now. I just hate Luke.
So while he is up there ruining the burgeoning coffee ritual, Jason's on deck and he's looking around and things are not done and things are not set up. And the tender was supposed to be set up with lines for, you know, at like first thing in the morning, and that's not set up. So Jason's upset and he's like calling the team and everything. And he's like, he's a little prickly. He starts ordering Harry around to do things, etc. And he's saying he needs Luke to be more on the ball.
And Harry found the diamond earrings, that fucking Cassandra. They do return to her every time. And she's like, I'm going to give you $1,000.
He's like, really? By the way, not getting $1,000.
No. So then Margo and Aisha are hugging. And Margo's like, so five of them are at the table and I didn't set it. And they were sitting there. And Aisha's like, why is it not set? You got up at 6:30. And she goes, yeah, but I did laundry. And then I came up. She's like, no, girl, you just throw laundry in and then you come up. Little does she know that she had two fucking coffee dates and a massage.
Yeah. Poor Laura. I mean, this would have been a great, great moment for undermining. Like,
oh, really,
you
did
not do that? Oh, that's too bad. You know, if it were me, I would have done that. But it wasn't me.
Margo is setting the table around the guests and stuff, and Aisha brings water without ice. Like, at this point, Aisha's just like, fuck you guys.
No,
I hate
ice.
People. Yeah.
ice, maybe, truly.
Yeah.
And so things are happening, and it's like fun, you know, like Fletcher? There's someone named Fletch.
Fletch.
Who wants more juice. And then breakfast is coming out, and there's kayaks coming out, and anchors going down to destroy more reef. And
Oh, I don't like glass. I have glass in my foot. Oh.
And then while that's happening, there's this guy, Fletch, gets cut with glass, and then the deck crew is setting up they're putting up the slide, which is always drama, but this case is really dramatic because Adam's being all babyish. He's like, come on, guys. God, like, they sent the hook down. Like, they didn't even ask for the hook. This is how you have accidents, guys.
Because the hook is swinging, right? So he has to catch the hook, but you've got Vlad, and Vlad up there, like, trying to show them how to do this, because no one knows how to do this slide yet. And Adam's like, God damn it, that's how mistakes happen. And Culver's like, wow, this guy's losing it. He's so angry about it. I mean, you're in Australia on a yacht. It's not the Navy. You're not going to war.
And then meanwhile, Fletch is still bleeding and Jack has run away. And Aisha's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And so Luke has to come. Luke is coming to tend to Fletcher's foot, and Luke is like, this is Adam's fault. I mean, he can't have broken glass on the take because he's not doing his night shift duties. And I'm like, yes, I agree. But also, why was that glass not swept up and dealt with like yesterday when it broke? And in fact, I think the stew who was there when this happened was Laura, I'd like to point out. So someone's messing up.
Yeah, but they were still at the table, so I think there's only so much you can get, you know? That's why you have to keep sweeping and sweeping and sweeping. Mix it on the first time, sweep it at night, you know?
Yeah, just they were not doing a good job. Anyway,
guys,
Bloody Foot.
Wow. Bloody foot, Fletch.
Cliffhanger.
Fletch down. All right, well, thanks so much for being with us, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. This is a fun time. We still have more recaps this week. We have Crappy Lake and we have Real Houses of Orange County. And there's also going to be a new Dwell Hello. So be sure to check that one out on Wondery Plus when it drops. That's House Hunters. Yes. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll catch you at the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Roo Roo LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.